You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how to tap that intuition and tap that nutrition to tap into your best health. That's sure a lot of tapping. I actually never liked tap class. I was more of a jazz dance class gal growing up, but that's neither here nor there. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product I couldn't swear by more if I tried. Four Sigmatic Mushrooms. I didn't say swear about more. I said swear by. I couldn't swear by the magic of mushrooms more if I tried. I originally tried a packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea in a glass of hot water because, well, I was gifted a free single packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea by a friend. I had no idea what it did or what was going to happen to me. And I was skeptical because this whole mushroom thing is trendy right now. And I'm always skeptical of trendy things. Read, I avoid trendy things to not be trendy. You know what I mean? But anyway, I drank the shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt more awesome than before I drank it. Since then, I've ordered it and consumed about 2 packets of shrooms a day, and I can't get enough. I am telling you, these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which honestly, he seemed way too proud of in hindsight. But hear this, I wasn't hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms. They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please, and thank you. And the 4 different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the 4 in Four Sigmatic, I just got that too. Well, like 3 minutes ago. But they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from my lion's mane, boosts your brain. That one's easy to remember. And chaga is good for immunity issues, like when you're traveling or feeling run down and or both. Okay, enough blabbering from me. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte. Oh, yeah, Four Sigmatic has mushroom matcha powder. If I could just stop blabbering for a damn second, I could tell you that because you listen to this podcast, thank you for that, you can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroom stuff you'll want to buy off their site, Four Sigmatic, FourSigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. To save that 15%, baby. Man, maybe I had way too much mushroom matcha. Okay, onward to the show. In the same way that I once felt fated to live a physically uncomfortable and sucky life with my IBS and then turn that shiz around by taking control of my mind and food, my guest today, Alyssa Goodman, did the same thing with her Hashimoto's and her cancer. Now, Alyssa is an LA-based holistic nutritionist and cleanse expert who believes that proper planty nourishment plus a daily cleansing practice are essential for optimal living, plus a hefty dose of self-love and intuition listening. Alyssa's mission is to educate and encourage healthy, mindful living to help others embrace the concept that we are a product of what we eat and how we treat ourselves. She's mega passionate about using a whole slew of holistic healing methods, supplements, superfoods, and herbs to help peeps reset their metabolism, overcome autoimmune issues, digestive and inflammatory challenges, or to heal themselves from disease. And she may or may not have turned me onto my new favorite immune strengthening supplement that might match some of the jewelry I wear. What? Well, that's a good teaser if I've ever heard one. Why don't you keep on listening to get unteased? Alyssa, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
Thank you for having me. I love the name of this.
Thanks. That's awesome. So, you know, what makes you unique right off the bat is that you've dealt, and this is not, I'm positioning it as like a positive thing, but it's actually a struggle, but you've made the best out of it. But you've dealt with a lot of illness in your life. You were diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma at 32 and Hashimoto's at 55. And you sadly, I'm so sorry, lost your husband to cancer when he was only 45. So I'm curious, right from the start, you know, how have those experiences shaped your philosophy with food and nutrition?
Well, it has drastically, and thank God for it, because I mean, growing up, I was not really the healthiest kid. My immune system, I think I came into the world with not a very strong immune system. So every illness you can name, I ended up contacting and getting a lot of viral stuff, you know, sinus, digestive issues, sleep issues. I mean, it was constant. I know.
Were you one of those
crazy,
like, ear infection babies that just kept getting them all the time? Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, it was real. I mean, my mom, I mean, in those days, you know, a lot of moms didn't breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of that immunity comes from that. She did have a natural childbirth, but I think that this household that I went into was super stressful. There were two type A parents that were massively like motivated and driven and would get up at 5:30 a.m., you know, to work out and then get everything done that they needed to get done in the day. And it was, so with someone like myself who was a little bit, felt always a little behind the eight ball, it was hard, not only physically, but emotionally. Because the emotional component, I think, was big. I didn't learn that till later, until I was diagnosed with the cancer. But the emotional component of like really not feeling good enough, like not worthy, you know, I couldn't keep up. Was I going to ever get there? You know, I wanted to make them proud. I mean, I was really hard on myself.
Lots of stress, it sounds like.
Tons.
Yeah.
Tons of stress. And it's funny because my mom was asthmatic, and so she was into health. And she would go to this health ranch in Mexico. And when I was like a teenager in my like 16 to about 22, she would take me periodically. She'd go twice a year.
Oh my God. What's it called?
It's called Rancho La Puerta.
Would you recommend it?
Well, I used to recommend it, but lots of friends lately have been going and saying that, you know, it's not really well kept up as it used to be. And it was ahead of its time. They meditated, they did yoga, they grew all their own food.
In Mexico, too. That sounds amazing.
In Mexico, in Tecate, Mexico, where they make Tecate beer. It was a mandatory massage every day.
Bummer.
You went off the radar in terms of phone or you, it just was. And these women, when I went probably a handful of times with my mom, I watched these women transform in 5 days. Like they went from depressed, tired, you know, on all kinds of medications to like a totally different person at the end of the week, vibrant, sleeping well, looking better. My mom went down on her asthma medication. So
amazing.
Somehow that like part of being with her and having her take me to that, I think got it instilled in me. Mm-hmm. And I moved to New York after graduation. I graduated from school in Arizona and I moved to New York for 10 years and worked in the advertising business and continued to like be sick there as well because it was such a stressful environment, you know, entertaining and all and the weather, so on. And again, trying to drive myself into the ground and really not knowing exactly how to eat well and drinking lots of coffee and eating lots of sugar to keep my energy up. And then I basically got married and said to my husband, you know, we're moving west. And he was from Queens. And it was so funny. He goes, what? We're moving to New Jersey? No. And I'm like, no, we're moving across the country. And he had never been to California.
Oh my
but
God.
I was like, I knew in my gut that I needed like a slower, maybe more manageable life. And I wanted to come back to sunshine, of course, and better weather. But for my psyche, I just knew that I needed to get out of New York. So we moved west and then I ended up getting a dream job with a magazine, Vogue magazine, selling ad space for them. And 6 months later, after taking the job, I got diagnosed with the cancer.
Oh my God. And how old were you? 32.
32. Yeah. So that was when I kind of kicked into gear. And with what my mom had kind of taught me, interestingly, with the health arena and with the Rancho La Puerta days. And I did, I started juicing and I became vegan. I went to yoga. I went into therapy because I knew emotionally I was not in a good place. And I ended up like trying to regain the control of what was happening because I felt it felt so out of control in the whole medical system.
Yeah.
And basically, I ended up not doing everything the doctors told me to do. Shockingly, I did not do chemo because I was so petrified because I wanted to have kids.
Right.
And I knew that chemo was going to have some major side effects. And I hadn't had kids yet. So I didn't do the chemo. I did. It was a stage one, too, cancer. So okay. It was an early stage of Hodgkin's. So
tell me what kind of cancer that is. I'm not familiar.
It's lymphoma.
Okay.
It's cancer of the lymphatic system.
Gotcha. And were you having symptoms?
No symptoms.
No, just went in for like an annual checkup and they found it? Oh.
I was getting a massage. It was so crazy. I was sitting up getting a massage. She was like massaging my neck and my shoulders and my collarbone. Mm. And she felt this lymph node on my collarbone.
Oh.
She said, you know, you're not supposed to have a swollen lymph node on your collarbone. You have them on your neck, of course, but you don't have them on your collarbone. I think you should go get that checked out. And I did. And the next thing I knew, yeah.
And so I assume the doctors weren't telling you, you know, screw chemo, go juice and become vegan. Where did you get that idea?
Because no.
I mean, this was a little while ago. Even
yes.
now that is a radical idea, but back then it's even more radical. So how did you have the guts to do that or the idea?
I think that's the biggest question I still ask myself.
You just knew.
I think that also too, along with some of the things I said to you, you know, just not having a really strong self-worth or self-love growing up in a family that was type A and feeling a little like I was, you know, not keeping up with it all. But I also, I think, came into the world with this feeling like I knew life could be better and I knew that I had the possibility of changing things. You know, it was really early in my life that I kind of tapped into that, even though I didn't instill it on a day-to-day basis. But I think, you know, my psyche, and I think because of my, potentially my sign, I'm an Aries. Do you know many Aries? They are like, they kind of don't stop till they find an answer.
Okay.
So that's an Aries trait. So I always had that in me. I always knew, like, I always felt like the grass was greener and I was going to find that green grass.
And then you juiced it.
And I juiced
then
it.
You juiced the green grass.
I did. I juiced the wheat grass. And yeah. I don't know. It was so interesting because I know my husband was terrified. My family was terrified. My doctor actually fired me basically because he's like, what if something happens to you and you didn't follow my protocol?
Oh.
But I did find a doctor at the medical university I was going to that basically believed in what I was doing too.
Wow.
You know, he's like, it's an early stage. You know, let's see if we can get rid of it this way. And I did have the radiation with him. So I was thoroughly with the doctor when I was doing all of this. So it was kind of cool that I was able to find someone who was on my side.
It's amazing.
I know. It was really amazing. I mean, then I went on to have two kids, and then I was diagnosed actually with the Hashimoto's hypothyroidism after my first daughter. So that was 23 years ago. So because they radiated my thyroid, I got hypothyroidism. And then because of the stress, you know, with going back to the job and then having a kid, I got the Hashimoto's. So I dealt with that for the last 21 years. But 11 years after I was diagnosed with cancer and after having kids, my husband was diagnosed with his cancer, which was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he ended up, as you said, passed away a year and a half after his diagnosis at 45.
Sorry.
And he basically, I think the difference between the two of us was that I was terrified, but I wasn't terrified to the degree that I didn't think I could kick it. I think he was terrified at the idea that he didn't think he could kick it. And his dad had died when he was 2 of melanoma. So I think there was a component in there in his psyche that might have, you know, been one of the many factors. I'm not saying it was a major factor or The only factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he handed himself over to the doctors and he was super strong and he looked super healthy. And they did 2 bone marrow transplants on him in a year and a half.
Wow.
And nobody does that. Like, that is crazy. Like, you know, you take you down to nothing and then build you back up. But in a year and a half, it's really hard to get your system back up and then to then go back into another transplant.
Right.
So he got fungal pneumonia. His immune system was so compromised, and that's what he passed away of. So he didn't really pass. He didn't die from the cancer. Yeah. He really died from,
Oh, boy.
And the doc, he didn't believe in this stuff that I did.
Okay, that was a question I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Wow, so you were just watching him just surrender fully to the doctors and the medical system and the chemo and all that, and he wouldn't take your juice.
No.
Oh, that must have been so challenging.
He was eating the food at the hospitals that was crap. Yes, you know, still today it's pretty crappy. Mm-hmm. I mean, drinking in Sure and just like, you know, he just wanted comfort food and he wanted what he wanted. And basically the doctors were like, you know, it doesn't really matter what he eats or drinks. So it was definitely hard, very hard time. And then when he passed away, about a year or two, a year and a half later, I was like, you know, now he was the major breadwinner. I was home with the girls and now was like, okay, what the hell am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
As well as my girls were traumatized. So I was like, how do I help them get back on their feet? And how do I help the three of us stay strong and get through this and come out the other side? And I really didn't know how to do that. So that's when the really nutrition stuff really kicked in. And I went back to school and got certified in Eastern and Western, as well as I did a lot of therapy and a lot of energy healing and, you know, Reiki and tapping and meditation. And like, I dove into all of those things because I had to figure out how to help really myself and the girls, like, release the trauma of it all. And then I wanted to make sure that they didn't feel like automatically that they potentially could get cancer because of their parents.
Wow. What a story. I love that you took, you know, your own health struggle and this terrible tragedy in your life and did something so positive with it and now continue to inspire and help others not have to repeat, especially your daughters who have both parents who have had cancer. It sounds like you're empowering them to take action in their life now to prevent it or to do everything, stack all the cards in their favor.
Exactly. Exactly. And it really has been the most incredible experience. Like you said, your first question, you know, it kind of sucks everything that I've been through and, but I wouldn't take it back because I have learned so much. And I also, when I sit with clients one-on-one or I do talks and people ask me questions, I've been in all these dark places that my clients have been and I've experienced all these illnesses. So it really, I am really compassionate as well as like I have this understanding of what's at the root of a lot of this stuff that's happening, you know, combinations of emotional and physical. And so it's been the biggest gift I could ever give myself and also the girls. I mean, my girls are super strong and they love the health arena. And my older daughter works for a Reiki master and is her personal assistant.
Oh my God.
That's a super cool one.
Yeah,
by
that's
the way.
Awesome.
And my other one just loves all of the, you know, healthy eating and is getting yoga certified. And so it's really been, you know, it's a long road. I mean, I'm 58, but I've never felt better in my entire life at this age.
That's amazing.
I've never felt great. And now I do.
So let's talk about some of the things that have contributed to that, to why at 58 you feel better than you've ever felt and your health sounds like, knock on wood, it's rocking. And, and you know, we also talked about how you're teaching your daughters to like stack the cards in their favor or whatever. What are some of these practices and habits and all the stuff that you teach, you know, your daughters and your clients to, you know, improve their immune system and prevent all this crap happening to them?
Yes. Very, very good question.
The crap, prevent crap. That's a great question.
I love that. Yeah. All the crap that we're loaded down with. It is crap. Emotional crap and like also physical crap, yes. Right? But the biggest component I've seen over the years is the emotional one. And I know you've probably on your podcast, you've had people talk about all of this. And it is really trying to tap into some thought patterns and emotional beliefs that are not serving you anymore, that just are not letting you get to that next level in your life or places that you want to go. So, you know, figuring out how to tap into some of those feelings and struggles that we have and somehow letting them go, whether it be through energy healing or Reiki, or like I was saying, tapping, or, you know, we have to like, or mantras, we have to let go of a lot of our subconscious beliefs that we were instilled in the early years that really were not healthy.
This is fascinating. So I'm talking to a nutritionist and a cleansing expert, and I'm saying, what are some healthy things that you think contribute to your great health at age 58 and your daughter's great health? And you answer with emotions. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
number one.
Fascinating. I mean, no, I'm not saying that like you don't believe in the food, but I am just impressed and fascinated that that's where you would go first. That to me says that, wow, emotions are huge. And, you know, you said, I'm sure I have a lot of people on my podcast that talk about that. Yeah. But not to the extent of what you're saying, which is like, number one. So wow. Tell me more about that.
Every emotion carries a specific vibration that resonates within us at a cellular level, affecting how our bodies function. That in a nutshell, that is
like, it's scientifically proven.
Yeah. It's scientifically proven. There is one of my favorite books out there called Radical Remission. Mm-hmm. I think it came out came out 2 years ago or a year and a half ago.
We gave that. And, my mother-in-law actually passed away this summer from cancer. And she was like, your husband, she refused to do anything other than the chemo. And we gave her that book and she put it in the hot. She lived in the hospital for 4 weeks before she passed. And it was there, but she really wouldn't read it. And so when you said that, I just got taken back. But it was the same situation where she was like, you know, screw the plants, screw anything. I'm going all in with the chemo. And you passed away. But anyway, so Radical Remission is supposed to be amazing.
It is. She did, she did her PhD and she like talked to stage 3 and 4 cancer cases across the world. And she came up with 9 modalities. And in a nutshell, 7 out of the 9 were all emotional components that helped them heal.
Wow.
So the 8th one was food and the 9th one was supplements.
Okay. Oh my God.
So, I mean, it just proves, you know, there's another book called Mind Over Medicine that I don't know if you've heard of by Lisa Rankin. That's amazing too. And she's an MD and she basically investigated sort of, you know, subconscious and placebo effects with illnesses at medical universities. It came out like maybe 4 years ago and it was the same thing. I mean, people went in for radiation that didn't get radiation, but their tumor shrunk. You know, I mean, it's like placebo and the mind-body connection is so powerful. So I think once we surrender, and we also, you know, when we're in fight or flight or fear mode or, you know, stressed out to the max, our body doesn't function that well. Our digestive system shuts down. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't digest the food, even healthy food.
Yeah.
And we don't absorb nutrients.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is one of my favorite topics of all the topics because, you know, here I am with Party My Plants podcast, helping people and encouraging people to eat more plants. But the thing is, if you're eating plants when you're stressed out or you're resentful or you're, you know, overwhelmed, you won't reap the benefits of those plants.
Absolutely.
So that, I mean, you are 100% preaching to the choir here. Yeah. I'm the choir. Amen, sister. I couldn't agree more. So to that point, I mean, we're talking about like remission and healing. Is clearing up our emotional crap also a form of prevention too?
Yes, 100%.
Interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why, you know, that's probably why meditation has come on full steam. You know, like there's meditation apps, there are meditation studios across the country. I mean,
I thought it was just cool.
There's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
For all that, we're all just, you know, if we can clear that up, I think we like really are on that road to prevention or recovery from something. I mean, then, you know, I think with like the autoimmune stuff, when you go into the doctor and he says you have an autoimmune disease and says to you, your body's attacking itself, like what kind of information is that to give you that your body is working against you and it's attacking itself?
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, your body is trying to heal from toxins in the organs or viruses in the organs that need to be, you know, removed, or all of those pathogens need to be lowered, then, you know, that's a different story. Like that makes you feel like, oh, I can do that. And that's my next thing that I do with clients is the root cause of most health issues is the toxins in our body. And basically, we don't talk enough about it. How do we lower the toxin loads? Yeah, we think, oh, we might go on a juice cleanse to get, you know, to detox, or we go on a healthy eating program for a few days or 21 days to detox. But it's more of like an ongoing living situation, because like for me, the reason why I feel great is like 2 years ago, I read Anthony Williams' book. Do you know him?
No.
The Medical Medium.
I've heard of him, but I've not read his book.
Yeah, he's pretty out there. So I read his book, and he talks about these root causes of the mystery illnesses. And I put it down and I had a session with him like a week later. And he basically was like, you have Epstein-Barr, you know, over the phone. I take it for a grain of salt, whoever's listening. You have Epstein-Barr in your thyroid and your liver. And he basically said, if you don't do something about it, you're going to have a serious health issue. And I did. I had mono, I had shingles, I had canker sores, I had chicken pox, I had strep, I had tonsillitis, I had all these viral related issues. And when you get those issues when you're growing up or even later in life, they give you antibiotics, but antibiotics don't do anything to viruses. They don't get rid of them. So we have these viruses that lay dormant in our organs where the other toxins are. And when we get stressed and trauma happens, or, you know, certain things that happen in our life, they raise their ugly head in different ways.
Right.
So I put myself on a protocol to lower my viral loads. And it's a protocol that like is nothing like crazy or weird. It's like using herbs that have been around for centuries. And it's also using things like bioactive silver, which is, you know, it's at Whole Foods, it's at Erewhon, it's on Amazon. It's, you
it's
know,
on not, Amazon, it's
yeah,
mainstream.
It's, on it's not colloidal silver, it's bioactive, because bioactive is an antiviral, antifungal, antibacteria. And it goes in the body and it does its work and then it leaves.
What does it do? What is this? Is this something, if someone's listening, they might just go to Amazon right now and buy it.
Yeah.
Is this for everybody?
If they are listening, Sovron is the brand, and it's called Bioactive Silver. And most people take it when they're starting to feel sick. Like it's, you know, you can
recycle like it.
Yeah. It's like if you're run down or anything, it's fantastic stuff. It's been around forever. It's like,
I don't know much about it.
Yeah. It's an antiviral, and it's one of those things that, you know, you take ongoing. You lower your viral loads, your bacteria loads, you know, your pathogen loads in your body, things like that, like bioactive silver, and then using like a liquid zinc that is a strong ionized liquid zinc, which protects your organs from viruses and pathogens, as well as it builds your immune system. So I'm a big fan of even a liquid astragalus, echinacea golden seal, you know, olive leaf extract. All these things are, you know, are plants and things that have been around forever, and they're very potent when you use them in the liquid form, and they're very helpful in when you're getting sick or when you have, you know, some health issues. The combinations of them, there's another one called cat's claw that's great for strep. And I love this stuff. There's a doctor in New York who does a lot of herbal remedies and works with them, Dr. Aviva Ram, and very well known. And she was like an herbalist before I think she became an MD.
Uh-huh.
And so she talks a lot about all this stuff. And I've seen such amazing things happen with people who use these herbs, liquid form, for a period of time, because, you know, a lot of these capsules that we're taking and the supplements that are on the market aren't so great.
Why is that? Why is the liquid so much better than the supplements?
Because our digestive systems aren't really fantastic. Mm-hmm. And because of stress and, you know, over-the-counter drugs and toxins in our gut, plus as we get older, our digestive enzymes deplete, our hydrochloric acid depletes. So we don't break down some of these capsules to the degree we need to, just like we were saying, even like we were talking earlier about having stress.
Food, yeah.
Yeah, the food part, you're not going to break down the capsules either. Like both.
Touche.
And there's fillers in them.
Uh-huh.
There are some synthetic materials in them. So we all know, kind of like you already know this, you know, the food is definitely more like bioavailable.
Yeah,
and it's
number
better.
One.
Yeah. And then I think potential, and then the herbs come from the plants.
Uh-huh.
So they can be very powerful too. And if they're liquids and powders, they get into the bloodstream, they get into the cells without having to go through the digestive system. So that's kind of these days it's, you know, letting go of emotional stuff. It's how do we get nutrients into cellularly into my clients so that they can get better sooner than later. Like this, not feeling well for 6 months to a year or longer, mm-hmm. or not ever feeling great, for me is this not okay.
Right. Well, here's a strange question that came up as you were talking. So be prepared. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like blood test or, you know, breath test or any test we can do to know that there are emotions we need to let go of. How do we know? I mean, like right now, I feel pretty chill. I meditate every morning. Like I feel like, you know, when I have a problem, I work through it and whatever. But like, do I have stuff I need to release? Like, how does one know?
Really good question.
Good luck answering that.
I know.
That's really tough.
I was thinking that same thing. But really, I think it's, first of all, it's like taking some time to yourself to like sit back and not be so crazy busy in your life and find some peace and calm someplace, somewhere in your day or your life, you know, because we can't tap into our instincts unless we slow down. And I think when we like slow down and really tap in and maybe write down, you know, some of our goals or some of the things that we want to accomplish in life, and we find out a lot of times like, wow, that's something that I want to accomplish for years. I wonder why I'm not getting there. Or basically, I want to make a certain amount of money, but man, it's been years and I haven't even remotely gotten to the place where I'm making that kind of money that I want to make. So if you're asking yourself those questions and those answers are coming up, then there definitely is emotional stuff in your way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does make
sense. Kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, there is, I mean, you know, we all have goals in our life and we all have things we want to accomplish. And I see it day in and day out with clients. They're like, you know, I want to do this, but I haven't been able to, and I don't think I can. And, you know, I don't feel good, or I don't think I can be healthy, or, you know, there's all
limiting
these thought
beliefs.
Patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's it.
And how do we release them? What are your favorite modalities? You've mentioned Reiki a bunch.
I did. I love Reiki.
I've actually never had a Reiki session, but I would really like to.
Yeah, you should. There's actually, I wish the woman that I love, she's in LA. I wish she was actually doing privates, and she's not. Her name is Kelsey Patel.
I've heard of her. She was at the Good Fest. Yeah. I emceed the Good Fest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
Anyone
she's
in New
great.
York you'd recommend? I live in New York.
I will totally check it out for you. She'll probably be able to give me a name of somebody. I know there has to be somebody, but
yeah.
So
Reiki.
There actually is a great, also breath work. There is, and I can't remember her name at the moment, but I'll get back to you on the name too. There is a breath work person in New York that I saw a couple of years ago that I like was exceptional. And she was able to like get me into that space also to kind of really tap into my deeper emotions. It's just all about, you know, just getting calm and how we get calm. But Reiki is one. You've heard of energy healing. I love energy healing.
Yep.
There's many energy healers out there, and that energy healing changed my life 10 years ago. I went to therapy, traditional therapy, for 13 years, but once I went into the energy healing, there is some way that these people can tap into a deeper place inside you, into those emotions, and help you release them.
What's the difference between energy healing and Reiki? I thought Reiki is a form of energy healing, no?
It is a form of energy healing. Yeah. Okay. So there are different forms of energy healing.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, yes. And then tapping is another one that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Do it at home, DIY.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So if somebody's listening and they're like, all right, so if I have a sore throat, I should just release emotions. Like, where do the plants fit into all this?
Yes. We got to talk about those plants because they're crucial too.
Yes.
So so if I have a sore throat, you know, a great thing to do is to like check out the bioactive silver because that's great for sore throats.
Right. And also, so it's called bioactive silver. We'll put this in the show notes. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, nature's answer, alcohol-free makes astragalus, liquid, and echinacea golden seal. And those two are amazing. So like that bioactive and those two, nature's answer, astragalus and echinacea, are great for sore throats. Okay.
Good to know. That was just a hypothetical. Now I'm going to throw other issues for you.
So how I healed myself, I feel like, from cancer was juicing.
Okay. And old school.
So I juice today. I'm still a huge juicer. And I juice greens like crazy, but without any fruit.
Right.
And I also juice and I drink it fresh. Mm-hmm. So I don't really love buying the cold press anymore.
Why?
I just feel like I'm not sure if the nutrients are still intact. And it also doesn't taste as fresh as I'd like. So I actually just throw in, you know, super simple things into my juicer, like celery and cucumber and lemon and ginger and parsley. They all have like components, like celery detoxes the liver and cucumber detoxes the kidneys, and lemon, of course, you know, helps with detoxing the intestines, everything. And ginger too is like great for immunity, right? Anti-inflammatory, great for everything. Then parsley is great for detoxing heavy metals, and you know, you could just do something as simple as that. And that is so powerful because it's like a liquid vitamin, mineral, antioxidants, and it cleans your blood.
So you drink that like every day?
Yeah.
So it's cucumber, almost celery, parsley, lemon, and ginger.
Yeah.
No kale and all that jazz.
No, I do. I'll rotate my greens sometimes depending on, I'll throw in one day romaine, the next day I'll do arugula, next day I'll do dandelion greens, kale, spinach. You know, and you can throw all this stuff in too, but I just kind of keep it simple.
Yeah.
And I rotate for fun because so it's a different taste and I get different nutrients each day. So I don't get sick of it. But that I feel is like so exceptional because we don't get enough plants, right?
Yeah.
We don't get enough vitamins, minerals cellularly. So I don't use this as a meal. It's just my liquid vitamins.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So how do people know, you know, same kind of question to how do we know if we have emotions we need to release? How do we know if we have toxins we need to release? Like what if, like who's to say if you're just walking around life, if you should cleanse yourself of toxins? What, and to that, what causes toxins?
So we, sadly to say, we all have toxins. And we were loaded with toxins. The umbilical cord has over 250 toxins in it when we're in utero. The mother's milk has like over 150 toxins. This is all documented.
Are these all bad toxins?
They're bad toxins, girl. Oh,
why? How? How?
I mean, because, you know, we are toxic. We absorb toxins from, you know, chemicals out in the air or the water or
skin,
you know,
products.
The things we eat, right? The skin products. I mean, they are everywhere. And remember the old days, I don't know if you would remember this, but I think my, you know, my mom was exposed to DDT, which is so carcinogenic and poisonous, that they sprayed on, you know, the plants or the fields when they were growing, for the bugs and all of that. I mean, really, really toxic stuff. That this stuff just doesn't just go out of your body one generation to it. It is like transferred to generation to generation.
Gotcha.
So I don't want to scare anybody.
I mean, I'm pretty scared right now.
I'm like, we all
damn
live,
umbilical cord.
We can live a lot of, you know, very strong life with the toxins. Our body knows to some degree how to, you know, convert them and to eliminate a lot of them out of our body. But it's when we're just, when we don't know what we've been exposed to, and when we continually expose ourselves to the toxins, then the body gets loaded down and doesn't function properly. So I would have to say that everybody walking around out there has definitely is loaded with toxins. I personally would say, I said in my book, like everybody has cancer cells. Doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. Doesn't mean you're going to die from cancer.
Right.
But we just, you know, we life, and then we live a stressful life, and, you know, we drive cars and exhaust and
live in, you know, go on subways, stand on the ground like I did today. Pretty toxic down there.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think that, you know, again, it just, if you're not feeling well and you're feeling, you're having sleeping issues or anxiety, depression, or you're having some kind of health issue, then it's always great to like focus on, hey, maybe I need to lower my toxin load, because that is the crux of inflammation.
And inflammation is where disease is bred.
Yeah.
How do you know if you lower your toxic load? Like how do you, can you check?
No, but you'll feel it.
You'll just feel a difference.
You'll totally feel the difference. You'll feel like when I started really focusing on lowering my toxic load with the medical medium, and in 3 months, Talia, I felt so amazing.
Before that, were you not feeling well? Because I've had a lot of clients, and I think this is just a fascinating concept in general, not even know how good they could feel. I mean, if you're used to feeling a certain way your entire life, you might not know, hypothetically, theoretically, that there is so much more energy for you to have. Like, I didn't always have as much energy as I have right now. I mean, I was quite sick growing up myself. I had IBS, and I would get, you know, I had a lower compromised immune system, and I was sluggish, and I was foggy, and I was insecure, whatever. And then I started eating the plants, and I was like, oh my God. And then I morphed into this crazy person that you hear right now who has not had caffeine. But, you know, but like, I didn't know necessarily at the time that I could feel this way. And so I feel like there's a lot of people, I mean, probably most people have no idea what's on the other side of, call it lowering your toxic load, or, you know, cleansing, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I just wanted to state a point and hear your reaction.
That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why you're putting that message out there into people's minds, you know, into their psyche, because
there's a better way.
I didn't either until I was 55. I felt okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't great. If someone asked me, you know, how do you feel? I'd be like, okay, I'm okay, you know.
Okay.
But
you weren't like, I'm
sick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So when I started, you know, really beefing it up and focusing on it in a whole different kind of way, then I was like, oh, wow. Like you, this is what great feels like.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so that's what feels so powerful at the moment and so incredible to be able to sit with people or talk to them, like what you do, you know, with your podcast. It's like, you guys, you don't have to, you know, feel just okay. You know, there is great out there, and you should feel great.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to take a lot to get to great. It's not supposed to take, you know, like you going off to an ashram for a month to like regroup. Mm-hmm. You can do it in your own home.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be sick to, by contrast, feel great, you know, right? It's like, you were fine.
Right.
You were chilling. You had overcome all this stuff. But
totally. I was doing, I thought everything right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was sugar-free, dairy and gluten-free, didn't eat a lot of processed food. You know, I was definitely, I was 80% vegan. I juiced, I slept well, I did yoga, I meditated, but still there was something not quite, you know, completely right.
So I feel like I missed it. What was the thing that you tweaked that made it perfect,
quote unquote? It was the medical medium's book. You know, I just ended up picking up this book. He had written an article in Goop in the fall of 2016. And I read the article and I was like, that's interesting because of all the mono and Epstein-Barr stuff. And I had all of that. Mm. And so I was like, wow, that's speaking to me. And then I picked up his book and read it. And that's really when everything changed for me. And he's pretty fascinating type of guy. He's in the Heal documentary. I don't know if you, have you seen that?
I don't watch a lot of these healthy documentaries. I don't know.
Okay.
When I'm chilling on Netflix, I want to watch something that takes my mind off of work.
Something,
you know?
Funny.
Yeah. It just feels like I'm working. I'm like, put on The Office or Law and Order.
I agree. I know what you're saying. I totally get it. So,
but then I'm like not up to date when in social
settings. No, it's
settings.
Okay. It's okay. You don't have to be up to date. You don't have to know it all and you don't have to like see it all. But
thanks. I'll release that limiting belief.
I don't, yes, exactly. I think you're doing just fine. But I think that I don't believe in everything that he said, but it was just something that, you know, I think, again, it's like, it's just like someone coming across your podcast, you know, never hearing about you, but like just being drawn to your podcast, right? And listening to some conversation you're having with somebody and they're like, oh, wow. That is so interesting that it just, I am so like attracted to that. That speaks to me. You know, it's kind of how we, it's all how we function. It's, we're built on energy and on like emotion and like, you know, there's no coincidence, the right place at the right time where you see something and you're like, ooh, that's interesting. I'm going to look into that more.
Right.
So it's, if you want to, and I think it's a lot of, you know, I don't feel good. I need to like experiment more with some other things because what I'm doing now ain't working.
Yeah. So what are some like at home, you know, cleansing things that you recommend people do? Cause you did say, you know, we don't have to go to an ashram to feel better. You can do it in the comfort of your own home. You did say that. We can rewind the tape. But you know, ashram optional. What are some things that you could, that people could do at home? You know, we mentioned the supplements, the juicing. Is there any other practices that you typically recommend for people?
Yes, there are. So, basically this is so mundane in terms of, you know, most people know about it, but we of course don't drink enough water and we're a very dehydrated society.
Yeah.
So, and all of my clients, when I ask them what's the first thing they do when they get up in the morning is like, they go to their tea or coffee.
Right.
And they might have like a few sips of water, but we are massively dehydrated when we wake up in the morning. So, a minimum of 16 ounces of water in the morning before you have anything to eat or drink is a must because we need to, like, the liver is taking a lot of these toxins and converting them into a safe form to like excrete them out of the colon. So we need to get those toxins out of the body. So as simple as it sounds.
No, like simple's good.
Simple, minimum of 16 ounces before you have your coffee or your tea or any breakfast is mandatory must.
Okay. Yes.
And along with
you're not
this
the
water,
first to say that one. So let's keep reinforcing it. That's good.
I know.
Even me, but, you know, sometimes I only have like a few ounces of water before my morning activities.
I know. Because a lot of times, I mean, we're kind of like, I think society, we're getting a little bored of water or, you know, we're just kind of like, oh my God, really? I have to drink more water. And also water doesn't taste as good as it, you know, we would like it to. Mm. But there's this hydrating powder that I absolutely love that I talk about a lot.
Oh.
It has vitamins and minerals in it. It's sweetened with a little bit of stevia. But what I love about this powder also with the hydration factor is that the minerals in the powder help the water go into the cells. So what happens a lot of time, we drink all this water and we pee it out, but it doesn't go into the cells because we're lacking the minerals in our body. Because the food supply doesn't have the minerals like it used to. So I love Ultima Replenisher Hydrating Powder.
Ultima. Uh-huh.
Like one of those a day. I mean, I don't always do it, but it's great for traveling. It's great for mental clarity and like curbing your appetite, but it's great for like getting out water into the cells and actually super hydrating you so the body really functions
better. Awesome. What about noon? That's... Have you used noon?
No.
Oh, it's another awesome hydrating powder that I'm a big fan of.
And how do you spell it? Just like it sounds?
N-O-O-N-N-U-U-N. Noon.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Check it out. Give me your feedback.
Because I think that, you know, if you're not going to use a powder and some people don't like stevia, a pinch of that, you know, pink Himalayan sea salt or something with minerals and you can pinch that in your water, it will instantly energize you, but it also will help with the hydration factor of really getting, you know, into the cells and getting your organs back functioning. Mm-hmm. So that's huge.
Okay.
You know, we talked about the juicing, which I absolutely live and die by. And a lot of people love smoothies too, which are great. And if you use a fantastic greens powder to stick in that smoothie to get those vitamins, minerals, it's also fantastic. You know, just we've got to get that stuff into our cells and into our system. That's another great way to do it.
That's great.
Also, it's, you know, eating half of your plate of veggies, because veggies really are the life force, and not being afraid of eating fruit.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, talk to us about that, because a lot of peeps are now afraid of eating fruit.
I know.
What's going on with that? Because everyone's just freaked about sugar?
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you know, anything that God creates is like healthy. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying that in a religious way, but...
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, sure.
And anything God doesn't create isn't so healthy, but... You know, fruit is the fountain of youth. And I know we're so petrified of like, and the most antioxidants are in like berries and some of the fruit. I mean, it's like, and bananas have prebiotics in them. I mean, so many people are like, it's too much sugar. And
if you eat like 17 a day.
Yeah.
But I mean, I eat probably half or a whole a day. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm same fine. With me. Let me ask you about this, since you do have, you know, a lot of experience with cancer. When you have cancer, isn't fruit not good because it feeds, doesn't cancer feed off of sugar?
It does, but it's not the same kind of sugar.
Oh.
So we're talking, you know, when fruit is eaten like in its natural form and it's intact with the fiber and all of its, you know, it doesn't go into the bloodstream the way that something like where you juice fruit or you put fruit in a smoothie or, you know, it's added sugar.
Yeah, the fiber slows it down.
Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah. Okay. It's just that we have so much added sugar in our diet. And yes, sugar is bad, but it's more the added sugar than it is actually having a bowl of berries or a banana. You know, it's a little crazy.
Yeah. You know, since I can talk to you openly about cancer, which isn't, I mean, even saying that word is kind of freaky, but since, you know, you have such an experience with it, what are some things that people can do, I guess, to like prevent it or to at least try? I mean, would you just say everything we're talking about would be the answer to that question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, you know, kind of my list of things is, that emotional component. Well, I would say sleep is number one. Mm. If you don't sleep, that is a huge problem with health issues.
Yes.
Okay. And we do have a society that is having sleep issues. So sleep, you have to get 8 hours. And I know it sounds like a lot, 8 to 9 hours. I mean, we've had a society that, you know, is kind of built on, oh, 5 or 6 is just fine. But sleep
what about
is crucial.
7? You just went from 5 to 8. Is 7 cool? Because I'm good at 7.
7 is like on the border for me. Like 8 is kind of my precipice of the ultimate. I mean, your body resets between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. So, you know, most people these days go to bed at midnight. So they lose 10 hours of resetting or regenerating or rejuvenating. So that's kind of a little bit of an issue. In the old days, you know, we went to bed because we didn't have electricity when it got
when it was dark. Yeah.
But these days we have our computers and televisions and all that stuff that's causing us to like not sleep that well. So sleep is huge. Second one I would say is stress. Stress and the emotional component that we've talked a lot about are go hand in hand. That's like two or three, those two. Okay. Those are huge. And then it comes down to getting nutrients at a cellular level, like eating, like focusing on the plants, not focusing on so much animal protein as we have. I think we might see down the road, the paleo movement, you know, might cause some issues. I think we just eat way too much animal protein.
Yeah. And when you say cellular level, sorry to interrupt. Can you just explain what that means at a cellular level, eating, you know, getting the nutrition?
That means like I was talking about with you with the juicing or the smoothies with the greens, really great greens powder, or, you know, basically doing like great healthy soups, having, you know, great salads and raw veggies and cooked veggies, but also making sure, like we talked about earlier, like when we're eating these things, that we are blessing our food and that we're super happy eating this food and we're not stressed. Like, as you know, so we can get, so our body knows what to do with this food. It knows how to break it down and knows how to get it into where it needs to go to function. So it's really, you know, that it's that stress component as well as loading up half your plate with veggies. And most people, as you, I'm sure you talk to, don't do that.
Right. Wow. So, okay. You know, yeah. Sorry. So, these are so simple. I mean, they're big. I mean, it's not that simple to be like, don't stress, lower your stress, but like they're kind, they're simple. Stress, sleep, eat half your plates of veggies. Eat more plants. That's what you're saying. These are not rocket science ideas, but you know, they are challenging for people for sure. Are there studies that link, you know, I'm sure, I mean, this is a dumb question, but I'm sure there are studies that link stress to cancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are tons. I mean, even, well, in radical remission, you would see there, she did a ton of research and studies in the book I was talking about earlier, Mind Over Medicine. And there's a woman, do you know, have you heard of Christy Funk? She's the breast cancer doctor in LA. She did Angelina Jolie's surgery and she's been about 20 years in breast cancer. She started the Lotus Foundation. She just came out with a brand new book. I think it was like a week ago. And I went to hear her speak and a quarter of her book is research. And you will see in there, like with a book like that, you will see all the research of stress related to cancer, as well as she actually links animal protein and animal fat to cancer.
Sounds controversial.
I know.
But I know. Awesome, so for plant people.
I know. But it's a little, you know, people are so overwhelmed with the internet and what's out there and all these different movements and vegan, paleo, ketogenic, right? I mean,
I know.
It's eat more fat. I mean, it's.
Oh, it's that really causes stress. I mean, that is, there's like my clients nowadays, instead of like, when I started doing this work, you know, I would get people like, I don't know how to eat, you know, are Doritos good for me? You know, that kind of questions. But now it's like, oh my God, what do I do? Do I have apple cider vinegar first or do I have my lemon water first? When do I add my MCT oil? Like, what do I do? And that is still stress. Like, I don't care that you're stressing about lemon water and apple cider vinegar and MCT oil. That is still stress. And it's still so toxic for our bodies.
It is. Yeah, I know. It is. So it's like trying to find that common ground or that place where, you know, you're back in control. You know what's good for you. And, you know, if you miss the lemon water or you miss the apple cider vinegar one day, that it's okay to do it the next day, to not, you know, to try to not stress about all of that, or to just really do what feels right, but to also try to focus on not having so much stress and focus on eating real food. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Oh, I love it. Period, exclamation point.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you my favorite plant personal questions before I let you go. Sound good?
Okay. Sound good?
Yes. What is your favorite plant party restaurant?
So actual restaurant, you're asking.
A real restaurant where you like real to eat the plants. As opposed to a fake restaurant?
Yeah, okay. I was going to So it is, I would have to say, Cafe Gratitude.
Yep. Not the first to say that one.
I know.
Love it there. Can't go to California without going to Cafe Gratitude.
Right, true.
What is your favorite plant to eat?
Interestingly, I would say it is dandelion greens.
Ooh, how do you like to eat them?
because I juice them and I saute them. And I just eat them in salads. They are so powerful because they're a liver detoxifier. So that's another thing I feel like, you know, livers definitely need detoxing on an ongoing basis. That's a whole other podcast. But yeah.
Around New Year's. What are other good liver detoxifiers that are plants?
Other ones are, I would say, burdock root, which is a root. So it's a very ugly root, but I juice that as well. You can get it at natural food markets. I would say celery is a huge liver detoxifier. Yeah.
So when you're eating celery and peanut butter, ants on a log, you're detoxing your liver.
It's not exactly. You have to actually juice celery. That is one of the medical medium's big deals. You will, if you check this out after you hang up with me and check out celery juice online, you'll be amazed at the amount of people who are juicing straight celery juice and all the benefits to it, but it's a major liver detoxifier. Just straight, but it has to be straight celery juice on an empty stomach.
Okay. I'm going to Google that. We're going to see what happens. I love that you're so into juicing. What kind of juicer do you use? Would you say, well, one of my questions is, what's your most used kitchen tool? And I'm kind of going to answer for you with a juicer.
You got it.
Okay, cool.
You got it, girl.
Got it.
Yeah.
What
it's
brand
a
do you
Breville.
Use?
It's
oh, that's what I have.
Fancy. No, it's like, it's not expensive.
I figured
it's
you
fancy.
Had some like fancy schmancy extra crazy
I know,
one.
You think so. Yeah. But again, I just don't want anything to not be accessible for people. And I want it to be affordable and easy. And
love it.
You know, you juice and drink the juice right away, you're golden.
Any tips on cleaning it?
I know.
Do you put a produce bag in the chute?
I don't. I just wash it. You know, I basically, a lot of people compost that stuff, but I don't, I should. Don't do that. I just wash it.
I didn't mean to make you feel bad.
Oh God, you just did. I was shaking in my boots here.
Cool. Well, we will link the Breville juicer in the show notes for peeps to check out. What is your favorite daily stress reliever?
Oh, there's so many. So I would have to say a reflexology foot massage.
Ooh, that you do to yourself or that you go get?
That I go get. Mm-hmm. So all your pressure points are in your feet.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh my God, yes.
It is heaven. And there's these ones here in LA. Yeah. There's a Chinese foot spa. And it's like $40 for an hour. And you go in and just roll up your pants.
Oh, it's the best. I do work. I not to like make everybody jealous right now, but I have one 2 blocks from my apartment. Oh. It's $30 for an hour. And it is better than sex. It is the best thing in the entire world.
Isn't it?
Not to like counteract the stress relieving effects, but to justify getting these foot massages during the workday, I'll just bring work and just do it while I'm getting the kinks worked out of my feet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We don't do enough of that, I think.
And usually afterwards, I always have to go to the bathroom. So they're pressing
it just
on
like
those
works
points.
Right through you.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do meditate daily, but interestingly, I only do like 5 minutes in the morning and I do 5 minutes before I go to bed. So I don't do a whole long,
approachable.
But yeah.
Just like to music, just no.
No,
just
I have I do
visualization.
A visualization as well as one of my healers has some great audios that are 5 minutes. So I just listen to her stuff in the morning to just set my intention for the day. And then at night, you know, when I see so many clients and I'm interacting with so many people, I just try to let go of the stress of what I bring on because I'm so sensitive to other people's energy.
Yes, totally.
And that's a big one. Like, I think we all take on other people's stuff, even though we don't know we're doing it. That's another.
Absolutely. So, So we talk about, you know, releasing our emotions and stresses, releasing the ones we pick up from others too.
Yeah, true. Oof,
man.
So much. Yeah. Yes, it's a lot, isn't it? But, but we can't, you know, we can live very healthy lives with all of it. So I don't want to like.
Stress people out.
Stress anybody out there.
About being stressed.
About being stressed.
All right. Exactly. Well, you mentioned a ton of books already, but is there one book that you can think of that's just really inspired you in some awesome way?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, Mark Hyman just came out with his new book. Did you see that one?
I did.
Yeah, I love the book because what it does for most of America, it just simplifies what is good and what isn't good in the terms of diet and food.
Is this the one? It's called like How to Be Well.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the? Yeah.
Did I just make that up? It's brand new. I'm pretty
sure.
It's in my Amazon cart right now. It's just hanging
out
there.
Yeah, it's really, really, for somebody who's read a ton, and shockingly, I didn't think I would be like that blown away with it, but it's called What the Heck Should I Eat?
Oh, so what am I talking about?
Yeah, What the Heck Should I Eat? And for most people out there, we just don't know what the heck we should eat.
It's true.
Or shouldn't eat. And he really simplifies it. I love that. And if you have a health issue, you have to check out the medical medium.
Okay, great.
He has three books out and he has one new one coming out in the fall.
I wonder if I could get him for the podcast.
I know.
Do you know him personally?
He's a pretty special kind of guy. Sure. He's, he is a medium. You know, a lot of people think, ooh, that's so woo-woo. But
there is something
to be said for some there. I feel like there's a lot of different modalities to come into play and, some work for some, others don't, some others work for others and, acupuncture, reflexology, the juicing, like the healing and crystals and essential oils and all that stuff. I've done all of it and I love it all. So
I think it's,
there's a place for all of it, right?
Yeah, it's so true. And it's also what you believe in, what you give energy to. I mean, you could have like, I have an amethyst thingy chunk on my desk and I could look at that and be like, that's bullshit. Like, it's not going to do anything. Or I could look at it like, this is special. It's going to manifest me money and success and peace or whatever. And I feel like whatever I infuse into it will be the outcome.
Absolutely. You're so right.
Cool.
That's life. You just summed it up in a beautiful way.
Wow.
You summed it up. Like that's health. That's wealth. That's life. I mean, I just think you just said it beautifully.
Oh, thanks.
Because it is what our belief system tells us. And, I think all my years, I didn't believe I could be healthy. That was my belief system. And when it changed, everything changed.
Yeah. And like you said about your husband, I mean, he didn't believe he could overcome cancer, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring it to a low point. But
Okay,
high point. Where can people stay in touch with you? Where can people stalk you and follow you? And what can you give people? Just tell me.
I'm on all the social media under just Elissa Goodman, E-L-I-S-S-A Goodman. And website, ElissaGoodman.com. I also have a YouTube show that I interview people that I feel are game changers in the wellness arena because like we were talking earlier about there's so much out there and it's overload. So there's people that I come in contact with, luckily like you, that I get to interview and talk to them about, how they got to where they are like you do and just what inspires them and what makes them, good at what they do. So
awesome. It's like a video podcast.
It is a video podcast.
I mean, in the olden days, we would just be like, it's a video, but now podcast.
Yes.
It's a video podcast. Yeah,
it's a video. Yeah, exactly.
That's so weird. Cool. Yes. Awesome.
And if you live in LA, I actually have a soup cleanse that I cook and deliver every other week to about 48 people, give or take, because that's my, how many I can do.
Okay.
It's like 90 people a month. And it's, and it's actually home cooked, it has a detox tonic. It's a probiotic drink. It has a homemade protein bar. It has homemade bone broth.
Damn.
It has salads and salad dressings and soups and fermented veggies. And it has, you could check it out on my website. It's so fabulous. It sells out every time we do it.
That's amazing.
It has been so much fun to be able to like cook and nourish people
with
5 days. It's Monday through Friday with 5 days of really healthy food.
Oh my God. You do that? You cook it yourself?
I don't personally. I oversee it, but I have chefs that help me. But yeah, at the beginning we did.
Yeah. Wow. I wish you could ship that to me here in New York, but then the fermented foods would go bad. A little too fermented.
I mean, I have done that to a handful of people and basically some of the, it's in glass, so it didn't work out so well.
Right. Well, LA people, you should hit that up because I'm jealous and that sounds amazing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much for coming on today. This was such a blast.
I really was fun talking to you.
Yay.
You have beautiful energy, by the way.
Thanks.
And I'm really honored that you had me on your show.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I'm serious. The day after my interview with Alyssa, I ran to Whole Foods and got myself a bottle of Bioactive Silver Spritzy Spray and have made it one of my new, oh no, I think I'm feeling sick, helpers. And knock on wood, so far, so good. Speaking of good, the show notes for this chat, which live over at partyinmyplants.com/99. I recapped and bulleted out all the planty knowledge presents Alyssa unwrapped for us throughout our convo. Planty knowledge presents? That's a first. Kind of really like it. Anyway, if you can think of someone who might benefit from this show in their ears, please share it with them. And again, for a thorough recap of this chat, plus so much more that makes being healthy not sucky, head to partyinmyplants.com/99.